And I did not know Brother Shipman dealt with thanksgiving and praise on last week. And then the Lord would not let me get away from that message I preached this morning on being thankful, being thankful. Well, we're just not put together that way here. You can take that verse the way he said it if you want to take it that way, and it's all right the way he said it. It's correct. He said it correctly. About, we piping, nobody dances and all that. But I'm telling you what, buddy, there was some piping going on here this morning and there weren't no dancing much.
Yeah, you're right.
And when somebody else is mourning and weeping, the Bible says you're supposed to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. In other words, you're supposed to feel what that brother or that sister's feeling. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. You say, Brother Tim, you shouldn't say that. I'm saying it. That's tough.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's tough. But Jesus said the Pharisees was tough sometimes. Well, not sometimes, most of the time, all the time. In fact, one time Jesus, the disciples confronted him and said, don't you know that you offended them? And I'm paraphrasing this. Jesus said, yep. The matter of the fact was, he knew what was in their heart and he did what he did on purpose. He offended them on purpose. Said, we don't need that. We're not. I got a friend in Florida. He told me he wasn't put together that way too. And I was watching a football game at his house one night. One Saturday afternoon, actually. While we were watching that football game, I don't even know who was playing. It was the Gators and somebody else. I don't know who the other team was. But just because the other team was the other team, I took sides with the other team. And by the time that the Gators got a touchdown, finally, after the other team got about three, and I was ranting and raving and slapping his leg and everything else, and I said, your Gator's going to get beat. When the Gators intercepted a pass and ran it all the way in for a touchdown, he stood up, kicked his foot in the air, spun around in a circle, and when he got all done, I said, I thought you weren't put together that way. Now, most of the time, it's not that you're not put together that way and that you're not emotional. Next time one of your loved ones dies, you'll prove you're emotional. It's according to what frequency you got your radio tuned to. Amen. And so I'm just giving you what God laid on my heart. Don't tell me you're not put together that way. That's a lie. Don't tell me you're not emotional. That's a lie. Don't tell me you don't get excited about things. That's a lie. I ain't never been around anybody that never got excited about something once in a while. Amen. It's just according to where your frequency's to. That's all. Simple as that. Amen. Some people were thinking about their bellies when I talked about being I can pick on Brother Cecil because he's the greatest. But I can't. But I just can't. Now, I'm still your friend, brother. What I'm really saying is this. We've got to get our frequency right. And if it's a message that goes against our grain, I remember Brother Pascal preaching a message some time back on heal the line and let the chips fall. He said, when you're planing the door, planing the wall or something, you don't clean up the chips while you're planing it, while you're getting it squared away. You just hear it, and you just make a mess till you get it and right where it's supposed to be. Then you put it in its place. When you're done, then you clean the mess up.
Amen.
And I've made a few messes planing that thing down.
Yeah.
But thank God I got a broom that'll clean it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. The truth is the truth.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yes.
It ain't no different than anybody else.
Right.
Don't give me that stuff. I know better. If my boy was running a touchdown down the sidelines, I'd be hoorah.
Right.
And if your boy was, you wouldn't stand there and say, well, isn't that nice? Poke someone and say, that's my boy doing that. Nah. Oh, he was running and he was he was waylaying a few of them while he was running and knocked a few of them down. You'd say, "Nail another one, son! Come on, boy!" Amen.
Yeah.
You know I'm telling it right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Why, you're expecting us to do something that we just don't normally do. That's right. I don't want you to be normal, neither does God.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Christian life is always shouting, but buddy, I'll tell you one thing. When the frequency is right for it, you ought to be right in the middle of it.
Right.
You ought to even be one of the instigators of it.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. Well, I'll read my verse. Amen. John chapter 5 and verse 44. We've been up and down so much, it's like a Catholic church tonight. So how do you know? I don't know. I've never been to one. But they tell me they get up and down all the time, but I won't get you up again. Stand up while I read John 5:44. It's not like a Catholic church in other ways, but I've never been in one, so I don't know what they do, but I know that they're up and down all the time doing stuff. But we're up and down for different reasons, okay? Amen. John 5:44. Notice the message of Christ. Now, all the way beginning from verse number 38, I don't know why there's a paragraph mark in verse 39, but there's a reason for it. I guess it's because it's a new subject coming up. But really, beginning in verse 38, right down to verse number 47, this is some of the strongest preaching you'll ever hear Jesus do. Notice what he says in verse 44. "How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" That's a pretty strong verse. "How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" That's a pretty disturbing message, isn't it? It disturbs me. See, I had to get to where I didn't care about what men, about the honor of men anymore in order to get saved. And I'm going to tell you something else. If I'm going to do anything for God today as a Christian, I got to quit thinking about what people are thinking about me. And quit receiving honor from them in order to have the kind of faith that I need to have. God dealt with me, but I wrote this outline on my Bible last night before I got here. Last night before the services today. I know there was a reason for it. You'll never be effective in your life as long as you're concerned about men and not concerned about what God wants out of you. See, receiving honor is easy. Seeking honor is a job. Can I read it again? "How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Powerful question. Doesn't matter what you think about Brother Tim. I'd like to preach another message like the one I preached that night on who's the greatest. Because people are still talking about it. And I'd like to preach another message this week on like the leper that people just can't get over. But you know what? I can't be worried about receiving honor from you for a message I preach. I've got to be seeking that honor that comes from God only before I get real honor. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this is a very important time to this camp meeting. Because this is the preliminaries to it. This is the day before. This sets the mood and sets the day and the days that are to come. Lord, so I pray that God, you would affect our hearts tonight with the Word of God in such a way that when we leave this place, we'll say, "It's been good to be here." Lord, there's some that need to be knocked back, as the cherubim did to those who came to the door to get in the wrong way. Lord, I pray that tonight you might do the rebuking, the reproving, and the exhorting. Through your precious holy word, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I just want to give you my rough outline of this message, this question that Jesus gave. I would say, Lord willing, I'm going to get to the book of Luke. If God wants me to stay here and just pull this thing all the way through, that's what I'll do. Because I believe there's a reason for me reading this. I knew that the Holy Ghost wanted me to read this verse, and that the Lord wanted me to say something about it before I went into the thoughts that I also have on my heart. And I believe the reason that this verse is important to the message is because I'm going to preach about a woman who got saved who didn't care what the Pharisee thought about her at all.
Right. Right. Yeah.
He didn't care. She didn't care. She could have cared less what he thought about her. She wasn't looking for honor from him. She needed something from God.
Yes.
Listen, friend, I like to receive honor from those who are my brethren. I do, I like to. And some of the honor that I have received from the brethren, I have got by a lot of work. But you can receive a lot of honor from a lot of people from working hard. But when you seek God and you get honor from Him, ain't nothing like that. When you get done doing your work for God, and you get done seeking God, and you get done looking for God's glory in your life, when He puts His approval on it, and when the glory comes from Him, there ain't nothing else like it.
Right.
And some of us ain't going to get our honor here.
That's
right. Right. Some of us just, we ain't going to get it here. There's a song I've been wanting to learn for a long time, and I just have not taken the time. And for another thing, I've had nothing but trouble this year with my throat, sinuses, and everything else. Been the worst year I think I've ever had for that. I've been struggling through it all year long. But he wrote a song and sang. He's a preacher friend of mine from South Carolina. And he wrote the song, Bloom Where God Planted You. The song starts out like, why do fine flowers bloom in obscure places where no human eye can see? No mortal plans to drink of the graces. They bloom where they're planted for God's glory. And he got the idea of this message from walking in the woods one day and seeing a bunch of wild flowers out there. He said the most beautiful flowers he thought he'd ever seen. And he said nobody had been there. There was no path going to them. They were just out there in the middle of nowhere blooming. You know what we're wanting so much of? Recognition from men instead of glory from God. I just want to bloom where I've been planted. I just want to blossom if it's in the middle of nowhere and nobody ever knows my name in the big city lights. I'm not a big preacher and nobody has me written up in their periodicals. I don't want my honor to come from them. I want to bloom where God planted me. I just want to be an honor to God. I need God. I need God. I want to bloom right where He put me. Well, the first time I heard that song, I wanted to do 150 push-ups. Yeah, with you on my back. I said, oh my, why didn't I ever think of that? I don't understand. I do not understand all about all that, but I know this. God sees those flowers out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes. Yes. Yes.
He put them there for His glory.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes.
Right. Woo. Just bloom right and plant it.
Yes.
Just keep blooming. Let them call you a blooming idiot. Just keep on blooming.
Amen. I
never went by a flower and asked, why are you straining like that? Why are you grunting like that? And the flower looked at me and said, I'm trying to be a flower. Why do you look so pretty? I have worked hard at it. No. That flower has no glory of its own. But the glory that it gives came from God.
That's you. That's right.
You can take that pod from that lily flower and you can bust it up with a hammer. Break it all open and pick it up and smell it. Oh, it's a terrible smell. It's an awful smell. It smells musty. It smells like it's been in a basement somewhere. It smells dead almost. But you put that thing in the ground and let it come up, and it'll be something that it wasn't when it went in the ground. Ain't that what God's done for us? We're looking for men to honor us. We're looking for somebody to come up to us and say, oh, you are so wonderful. You bless me so much. Oh. Listen, you're not going to get that if you're not seeking the honor of God.
Yeah.
You can forget it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good.
We're wanting people to say, boy, that was the greatest message of the camp meeting. That was the greatest music that we had at the camp meeting. Listen, God will go out there and He'll get one of them plants that's been blooming out there in the middle of nowhere and bring it into a place where nobody knows about it and use that flower that's never been seen before. Amen. The one that's been all alone and nobody knows. Hey, you think about this. 1 Kings 17 says, and Elijah. No Elijah before that. Nothing in the Bible spoken about Elijah before that. Nothing.
Right.
All of a sudden, this prophet comes on the scene and says to Ahab, it ain't going to rain until I say it's going to. Where did he come from? He's been blooming where God planted him.
Yeah.
What gave him the authority to come in here and do that? He's been faithful out there where nobody's seen him.
That's right.
In that secret place.
That's right.
Where God had planted him.
Right. Yes,
Jesus. I'm full right now. I can go a little ways now, buddy. I feel pretty full. Boy, I appreciate that song too.
Yeah.
That part, where she said, Buddy walked right through that gate.
Yeah.
Then on up the hill.
Yeah. Amen.
Didn't stop it.
That's right.
He said, I'll do what the Father says.
Yes.
Whether my name's in lights right now and people don't understand me and they're killing me, I'm going to do what God's will, my Father's will is for me. He learned through suffering. He learned obedience. Brother Greg, I hope I can help you with this. You're learning, brother, what it means to have fellowship with His sufferings. I don't understand that fellowship of His sufferings, but it does something for you. When you suffer what He suffered, it does something for you. Peter and John weren't looking for the honor of men. Or when they were told to quit preaching in his name, they would have done it. When they said, we cannot but speak those things we've seen and heard, they beat him with many stripes. And Peter and John left that place saying, praise God, we were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Yes.
They weren't looking for the honor of man. Jesus said, how can ye believe? How are you going to have any more faith than you have right now if you keep looking for men to do something to give you honor? How are you ever going to be saved if you keep looking at men? How are you ever going to be serving God right if you keep looking at men? How are you going to be that praising saint if you keep wondering about what men think?
Amen.
I remember sitting in a camp meeting one time. A man came up. It was test time. We was given an offering. That was big offering time. Man came up there and said, I'll tell you what, I don't understand that Tim Rutherford. He said it almost with ugliness in his breath. He said, I don't understand him. What happened? I don't know. What I do, I don't know. I don't know. Did it stop me? Nope. No.
Right.
I wasn't looking for honor from him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted God to say, it's all right, boy.
Yeah.
I've had him come to me beside that old blue couch a million times and put his big old arm around me and put his hand on my shoulder and say, I'm with you.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. When men said I was a novice because I couldn't keep a church.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I couldn't keep it, they couldn't keep me. I was planning on staying. They had other plans.
Yeah.
My plans weren't wrecked. Theirs was. Because though now many of them are already dead and gone, I'm still around. Why? Because I wasn't seeking the honor of men. I got my messages from God. And those messages stung the hearts of those lost church members. So how do you know they were lost? They told me they were. They told you they were lost. They told me that my preaching said they were. One man said, if you just would settle down and calm down and compromise a little bit, you'd have it made here for the rest of your life. I had 3 millionaires in the church. I told him I'd cut compromise out of my dictionary. They offered me $8,000 plus my Social Security to be paid that year if I would resign in August of that year. I told him, I said, men, with tears in my eyes, I said, I didn't come down here. I did not come here for your filthy lucre.
Amen, bro. That's right.
And I'm not leaving for it either.
Right.
I had just read 2 or 3 days prior to that not to take a bribe.
Right.
And they were bribing me. I said, I ain't taking that. You can't buy me. I've already been bought. I didn't come in. I didn't come into evangelism with a silver spoon stuck in my belly button. I've been through some hard knocks, buddy. I've been through some hard times. It ain't always been hoopla. It ain't always hoopla now. But buddy, when I get around my kind, I'm going to go ahead and praise God, and I'm going to have some hoopla.
That's right. Yeah.
I've been blooming in a lot of places.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been looking for the honor of men while I've been there.
Yes.
If I were, I wouldn't preach the messages I preach.
That's right.
Oh, what long. And they didn't want me there anymore. But I told those people, I said, on what grounds do you want me to resign? And the chairman of the deacon board's buddy, who was the spokesman for the chairman of the deacon board and the rest of the chairman, or the rest of the deacons, said, because you told us this morning we were lost. You know what I preach? I preach the goodness of God leadeth me to repent.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
If that tells them they're lost, they need to get saved.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
I told him I stayed in this office and prayed till 4 o'clock this morning about that message. Mm-hmm. You can take it up with God.
Yeah, that's right.
The devil tried to kill my family that very night when I put that message together.
Oh, yes.
Gas leak in the house. When I came in there, the house was filled with natural gas. I ran in and grabbed my little girl. She was cold. I picked her up and ran into the bedroom and woke my wife up, shook her, and got them out of the house. I thought my little girl was dead. The oldest daughter then, she was just a baby. I know I looked young, but that was 13 years ago. I didn't get in this thing yesterday. I'm telling you, God rewards faithfulness. But we moved so many times, I didn't even know where we lived. I couldn't remember my address. I couldn't remember my zip code, my new phone numbers, because I'd get them so quick that I... And somebody said, oh, that Brother Tim, he's unstable. I wasn't unstable. I was just trying to follow God, and I didn't know what in the world was happening. And people were talking bad about me, but I was just looking for God's honor. I just wanted to do what He wanted me to do. And I was just doing my best. I was like a blind dog in a meat house. I was trying to fight God's will. I didn't know how else to find it. So I just kept on going, and I kept on seeking God, and I kept on looking for His favor, and I just kept on preaching, and kept on praying, and kept on studying, and I just kept on until God said, I'm for you, boy, for you.
Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you.
I needed Him. I wondered where He was a few times too. I just kept on anyway.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you.
Don't look for honor from men. Calvary Baptist Church,
yes.
Don't look for honor from men.
That's right.
Seek the honor that comes from God only.
Yes. Hey, what a truth. Thank you, brother. What a truth. That's good.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
This is a whole different message than the one I thought I was going to preach. But why do men disbelieve? Why do they not have faith? That's what Jesus is saying. This is why you don't believe. He said, how can ye believe?
It's
a pretty difficult message. Huh? That was a disturbing message. It was an exclamation of impossibility. How? And then it was an expression of inability. Can.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've learned something about inability. That's me in a nutshell. The word can, you think the word can, you think you know what it means, don't you? How can? How can? I looked up this word can. This word means to be able or possible, to be of the power to. Jesus said, how can? He's saying you are unable. It is a message of inability. You think about it. You wonder why you can't. It's because how can you? if you're in that position.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
Glorious.
Yeah, he was talking. Listen, he was preaching that to everybody. He wasn't just preaching that to Pharisees. This message fits both ends of the spectrum. Lost people and saved people.
Right.
He was saying to them Pharisees, you are unable to worry about it. You're seeking the wrong honor. Hello?
You're right.
This is an expression of inability. It is an exclamation of impossibility. But it is an exhortation of invitation. Because he uses the word believe. What he's saying is, I want you to be able to believe. But you can't because of the position you have placed yourself in.
Yeah.
I probably ain't going to get that other mess. I ain't going to get that whole thing. How can you believe? Which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Did you see that word only? That means real honor doesn't come from anybody but God. Not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth.
Right.
That's what Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians. Promotion doesn't come from the south, the east, or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. There's a direction that's not mentioned in that verse in the book of Psalms. It's the direction of the north. You know why? Because heaven's in the sides of the north. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Promotion comes from the north. Not the northern hemisphere of the world. The northern atmosphere of the universe.
Right.
In other words, promotion doesn't come from South Carolina or North Carolina or Michigan or Canada. Has nothing to do with this world. Has nothing to do with this world.
Right.
So sure, if I get connected up with the right people, then I'll be used. No, you got to get connected up with the right person. Amen.
That's right.
It's going slap over some of y'all's head. That's good. That's all right. But I don't think it really is. I think it's nailed right down. Right where you at? Some of you.
Yep. Right.
Huh?
Right.
I said, Lord, I can't preach this. I can't. I haven't studied it enough. He said, well, you studied it good last night. It's a disturbing message, but it's a dishonored master.
Yeah, right.
You realize that God is dishonored when we worry more about men than we do God?
Right.
He's dishonored. Dishonored.
That's right.
A dishonored master. You know what the word honor means? The word honor means glory, dignity, praise, and worship. You know why we don't have a lot of glory? Because we're receiving it from the wrong place.
Right.
Or we're looking at it from the wrong place. Amen.
Right.
I know it's quiet. I know it's quiet. Deep water runs slower than shallow water.
Yeah. Sure does. Amen, brother. Go ahead,
brother. You won't drown very easily in a creek or a creek, but you will in a river. And some of us just need to drown. Amen. Just go ahead and die. Because that's where God can get you out on the other bank and do something with you. Amen. God help us. Amen. A dishonored master. Jesus was saying, why would you want other people to pat you on the back and not me? Why would you want the approval of men more than the approval of me?
Yes.
Well, that's not going to make you popular. But it gives you a promise.
Yeah.
Promise from God. In other words, the promise is, if you'll seek me, I will honor you.
Yeah.
That's a promise. Yeah. If you turn that verse around, what he's really saying is, I've got something better for you than what man can give you. Why would you want what men can give you when I can give you something better than that?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? One of my problems is, preacher. I get around a lot of these men who have, in their older days, and they're maybe about my age, and 40, 45, or whatever. They've went out and got earned doctorate degrees, and I'm not against that. I'm not against that. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting one for a long time. But you know what God said to me one day? You don't have to chide them for what they've done. That's what they want. And that's what they got.
Yep. That's right.
I just don't want you to have one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Amen, bro.
Yeah. Some people say, where'd you go to school? What, before I got saved or after? Did you graduate? No. One preacher told my mother, your son will never amount to anything. He'll never finish anything he starts because he didn't finish school.
Yeah.
Now, if I'd have worried about what he said, I'd have enrolled.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll prove to him. I ain't got to prove to you or him or nobody else anything. I got to prove it to him.
Yeah.
Study to show yourself approved unto men.
That's right.
Oh, unto God. You knew what I was going to say. I wasn't trying. You knew what I was saying. Amen. Not unto men, unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. I got a good master.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus said, anyways, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Not learn of men.
Yes.
Simple truth.
Yeah.
We've dishonored our master in so many ways. Looking for men's approval. Amen.
Right.
I'm not against you going to school, brother. You know that. I've talked to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as your purpose is right in doing it.
Yeah.
Not about opposed to it. But see, some people say, well, I'm going to go and say, I had some men here ask me, well, how are you going to get into church if you don't have a degree? What if you know God wants you to have a church in a certain area, but no church will call you because you don't have an education? I said, if I know God wants me there, I'll start one.
Yeah. That's it. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have to have men call me to preach in a town where God wants me to preach.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. Glory to God. You can't help some of them churches anyways. They're in such a mess.
Right,
you can't do a stinking thing for them.
That's right. They putting you on over.
Why are we so worried about that?
Yeah. Boy, that's right. Oh, yeah.
This is deep water.
That's pretty tall. That's right.
That's good.
How are you ever going to get saved if you're worried about what somebody might say about it if you do get saved? That's exactly what he's saying to these people. How can you believe? But I'm turning this whole thing around. Listen, I got saved the same way everybody that gets saved gets saved.
You're right.
That's right.
By saying, I don't care what man thinks about it anymore.
That's right.
I talk to a lot of lost people out in the world that are drunks and derelicts. I said, well, what would my friends think? They're still worried about receiving honor from men. The Pharisees wouldn't follow Jesus because if they followed Jesus, they'd be ousted from the Pharisaical Union.
Yeah, right.
And so, amen.
Yeah, right.
So in order to keep in touch with them and be in with good with them, they went ahead and did it their way. I don't have to be in good with him. I have to be in good with God.
That's right.
And if my message is God's message and they're God's people, they'll receive my message regardless of what side of the railroad I'm from.
Absolutely.
I think I'll just shout a little bit all the way around the building. I think I'll just go on and run all the way around here. I believe I'll just go on around here and say, it's all that matters to me is that God honors me. That's why I don't give a flip of a booger what men say about me. Amen. That's right, ain't it? I don't care. Amen. Man, are they taping this?
Yeah,
oh. No wonder they wanted to crucify him. He didn't go behind their back and talk about what their problems was. He faced them with it. He preached straight at them when they came. Wouldn't do me no good to preach to people that ain't here. It wouldn't do me any good to take my shotgun and go boom, 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 boom when the target's down here. I just proved you I wasn't good aim if I didn't hit the target. We're the target. Jesus is still after us. The same way we got honor when we got saved is the way we're going to get honor since we've been saved. If Jesus satisfied us when we got saved, what do you think? What else do you think is going to satisfy you since you've been saved? Ain't nothing else gonna. Try to find it every other place. Listen, I can't even let my calendar be my satisfaction. I used to have men say, well, you booked up? You know what I tell them? Yep. Got a lot of meetings? Yep. According to how you measure a lot. My calendar is not my God.
That's right. Amen, brother. Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you something else, brother. Preaching ain't even my God. Evangelism is not my God. God is still my God.
Yeah.
I won't get anything in front of him.
That's right.
Not even the ministry.
That's right.
You hear me? You hear me right? Mississippi Delta Camp Meeting's not your God. When that becomes your God, it becomes ritualistic religion. Traditional tragedy.
That's right.
Liturgical nothing.
Right.
Amen.
Good.
How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. You're not serving me this week. You're serving God. Matthew 25, Jesus said, for as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Right.
I know you already knew that. We need to remember it. Dishonored master. He's dishonored when men's glory is revered, God's glory is rejected, and Christ's message is refused. And I've had a lot of folk refuse the message I've had when I was there. And had I been looking for their honor, I would have preached what they wanted to hear. Or what I wanted to preach. Huh? I'm about done. I got about one more point. I don't... I'm telling you, I've had myself fun already, man. I mean, there's not only a disturbing message in this verse and a dishonored master, but there's a discovery made. What's the discovery? Man is to seek God's glory. This is what's wrong with the crazy matter, a charismatic movement. They're seeking tongues when they ought to be seeking God. They're seeking for a gift when they ought to be seeking the gift. Our job is to seek the Lord. I wish I'd have done it. I almost did it before I came to church tonight. But I said, well, I'm not going to be preaching that message anyway. I started looking up the word seek before church tonight. And I started running that word down. I started looking at verses. Now, some of them I can remember. I want you to go with me to this one. This one's pretty easy for me to remember. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Some of you will get that if you think about it. Well, I'm not a worshiper of the Bible, but I believe God gave me a Bible. Amen? I believe He did. 16:11. Chapter 16, verse 11. Look what He says. Let's start in verse number 10. Well, let's start in verse number 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. What is this? It's a song. He delivered into the hands of Asaph, and here was the song they sang. Give thanks unto the Lord. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. How much? How often? When? What time? What occasion? There's a precious truth here. It says seek His face. Seek His face. You know what my boy is always looking for after I get after him? He goes, you know what He's wanting me to do? He's wanting me to go. Now when doesn't He not want to see my face? When He's in trouble. Let me tell you something else about His face. Remember in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea? The fiery cloud, the fiery pillar and the cloud went over with Israel so that Pharaoh and his armies could come into the Red Sea. You remember what happened when God discomfited them? It says, and the Lord looked at them between the pillar of fire and the cloud. He looked at Pharaoh and his armies. And when He looked at them, it discomfited them. Which means it caused fear and danger. Their wheels fell off. They drave their chariots to get away from the face of Jacob.
Yeah. Right. Oh,
yeah. His face scared them. Bothered them. And then there's another place in the book of Revelation where in chapter 6 they're going to say, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Why hide from His face? Then in Revelation chapter 20 it says that the heaven and the earth fled from the face of God.
Yeah. Right.
From the face of God. This brings me to another thought. Where are wicked men going to stand at the great white throne when heaven and earth are gone and the only stability they've ever had is what they've stood on this earth? When they stand out on nothing because there ain't nothing to stand on except God. And they look in the face of a holy God. You think they're going to point their finger at God then and say, I don't think you're fair? When they're standing on nothing and the only thing that's holding them up is God. Why does it say, then why does it tell us to seek His face? The ones that run from His face are His enemy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes. That's right, brother. Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Father, cause Thy face to shine on us and we'll be saved.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Amen. Right. Thank you.
Yes. All we need is a spot, the smile of the face of God.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. That's right. We are to seek His face continually.
That's right. Thank
you. Until when? That means even when He's smiling at us,
yes, right,
we're still supposed to keep on seeking His face.
Yes, right.
Even when we know, well, He's finally answered our prayer. That's when you're supposed to go back and seek His face some more.
Right. Yes.
How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? It doesn't matter if men say it's all right or not. What does God say about it?
Right.
Well, our preacher says it's all right to do this or that. Well, our preacher says this is okay. Is God's face smiling on it? That's all that matters, isn't it? Huh? That's it.
That's it.
It's all that matters.
Yes, sir.
So there's a discovery made. Man is to seek God's glory. You know why he's to seek God's glory? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why. We have come short of the glory of God. That's why we're to seek His honor, His glory. I'm going to close with this. The word seek, in definition, means to worship God, to desire, endeavor, inquire for, require. Search as for something hidden. That which involves the idea of urgent need. Some people don't get saved because they don't have urgent need. It's just mediocre. Well, if I die like this, the preacher says I'm going to go to hell, so I'll go ahead and go through their little prayer deal. And there's no seeking God. They just go through a Baptist rosary. Huh? And they ain't seeking God. And we wonder why we're in shape we're in our churches today. If you don't seek God for salvation, what makes you think you're going to seek Him for service?
Right.
That's why we have mediocrity and lukewarmness and coldness and just deadness in most places.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Let me close with these verses. You're familiar with them. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Most of you can probably quote them. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Who's He near to? The Bible says He's nigh to them that are of a broken heart. I'd say He was near. There's some broken hearts in here tonight. I'd say He's near. You want to get close to God? Find somebody with a broken heart. God's nigh unto them that have a broken heart. Broken for the right things. God's nigh them. Father,
yes.
You know I've done my best to preach what You've laid on my heart tonight. We've been here since 5 o'clock. But it's been good to be here. I wasn't chiding nobody. I was just preaching what You laid on my heart. Lord, You know my plans were to go to Luke chapter 7, but You didn't let me get there. And I just thank You for giving me what You gave me while I preached. I sure wasn't expecting it. But I thank You for it. And I praise Your name for it. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd have Your way in this time.
Yes. Right.
Some that need to come to You and seek You right now. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Go ahead. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't want anybody looking around right now.
Yes.
Just in the stillness of this time right now. Just in the stillness of this moment right now, who are you seeking honor from? I want to read a verse that I wrote down in my Bible concerning this thing about honor. I'm just going to read it to you. I've already given you a lot of verses already, but I'm going to give you this one. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before Me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from Me. For them that honor Me, I will honor. They that despise Me shall be lightly esteemed. God said, them that honor Me, I will honor.